Sleep has always held a profound intrigue for me. What is it, really? Where do we go? And what's actually happening to our consciousness and our bodies when we sleep? How does sleep help us to achieve physical and mental healing? And is it true that the sleep process helps us to sort through our experiences, consolidate new learning into memory, and physically heal our bodies? Why is it so incredibly important to our survival that even with minor disruptions or deprivation, we can literally lose our minds? Well, this is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter Truth in Medicine.
Explain sleep to an alien that doesn't sleep. I couldn't do it. I could explain food. I could be like, I need energy, so I eat an apple so I can use the energy that's in the apple. He'd be like, okay. Anything else? Yeah. At night? Regardless of how much energy I've consumed, I just have to shut it down. I shut it down for like 8, 9, sometimes 12 hours. Sounds boring. I'm like, no, my brain plays movies that I'm in. Sometimes they're scary.
Well, that was comedian Pete Holmes in one of his skits where he's attempting to explain dreaming to an alien. Welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on this Friday, April 26th, 2024. Tonight, we're going to have a little fun and a little education before we all head off into the weekend, which I hope for you will be filled with great memories and joy with family and friends. Everyone is curious about sleep. Everyone sleeps, whether it's good sleep or not so good sleep. It's an intriguing subject and always a great topic of conversation at dinner parties. But what is it really? Where do our minds and our bodies go in terms of function and processes? And is there a paranormal element to it? Lots of incredible questions. There are many theories in addition to healing, restoration, and memory consolidation, like DNA transcription function, and many other things all woven into an interdependence with the human circadian rhythm. That natural biological rhythm that cycles you through your day and your night. Well, you might be surprised to learn that in addition to my 10 years in DC as a political activist and 18 months working in the Office of Presidential Correspondence in President Trump's administration, plus some 25 years in human research, mostly in the areas of neuroscience, which included cognition, depression, anxiety, dementia, and addiction medicine, I was also a sleep medicine expert. I ran a 15-bed polysomnographic clinical research lab in upstate New York for several years in collaboration with one of the top 5 sleep experts in terms of publication and teaching in the nation. And I had the honor of having him as my mentor. And it was this sleep expert, and I will maintain his anonymity to respect his privacy, who himself had been mentored under the father, someone considered the father of modern sleep medicine, Dr. Anthony Kales at the University of Pennsylvania, credited among many with many other achievements with co-creating the sleep scoring system that is still used today and was one of the first to move the field of sleep from a research activity to a discipline with clinical medicine and treatment. It was during this time that I also conducted numerous multi-center phase 2 and phase 3 studies for some of the top pharmaceutical companies in the industry. I managed about 20 employees, including medical doctors, psychologists, polysomnographic technicians, nurses, administrative assistants, and medical technicians and phlebotomists. And I took great advantage of this experience and postdoctoral education to learn the fascinating world of sleep, sleep medicine. You see, most every animal sleeps, including mammals, birds, and reptiles. amphibians, and some fish. And, you know, all of them, in some form, insects. And even in simpler animals, such as nematodes. Humans are somewhat in the middle of the range of sleep hours that are average compared with other mammals, as you can see in this picture, on the screen rather, in average daily sleep totals. The range is from 0 to 20 hours. We're seeing the giraffe at 1.9 hours, all the way up to the brown bat that sleeps about 20 hours a day, just about the entire time they are alive. And anyway, it was Dr. Kales and his partner, Dr. Rick Rechtschaffen, who described and defined the criteria for sleep stages and sleep cycles. This was huge in this area. Healthy humans sleep in 5 90-minute sleep cycles. And within those five cycles, there are five stages of sleep. So it's kind of like an umbrella, and then a little umbrella, and down you go. Stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, and REM, which stands for rapid eye movement. The REM stage is its own separate stage. Let's take a look at the stages first, and then we'll look at the diversity and the complexity of the cycles, because the amount of time you spend in a sleep stage depends entirely on the cycle in which it sits. Now, normal aging, drugs, and alcohol, and organic disease can alter the morphology and chronology of the sleep stages and cycles as well. As I've often said about alcohol, it's a great sedative, but it's a crappy hypnotic, meaning it'll knock you out, it'll make you sleepy, but it is not good for keeping you asleep. It'll get you there, but it won't keep you there, and you'll have very, very disrupted sleep architecture. So the sleep stages are correlated with particular brain waves. In addition to the waking stage, here's a breakdown of the four stages and REM, rapid eye movement stage. This is referred to, as I mentioned the word before, as your sleep architecture. And your individual sleep architecture is what we study by way of a polysomnograph or a PSG instrument. It's actually a modified EEG study that tracks your brainwave patterns from particular areas of your brain while you sleep. Now, this picture is what is portraying, rather, a normal PSG. And it's quite fascinating because what it does in a horizontal fashion is it lays out those different brain waves, and you can see where people are across the 7 or 8 hours of their sleep. PSG measurement also includes, you see the location of the leads, but it also includes an electrocardiogram, because as I've mentioned before, your heart is an electrochemical conduction structure. And so we are able to measure your electrical patterns, your heartbeats, your rhythm, your rate through the PSG as well. There is an EKG lead or two on there. We look at temperature and we look at oxygen saturation. Most of you are familiar with oxygen saturation through the COVID hoax, because that was partly used in a very gross way, unreliably way, to scare people into going to the hospital. Okay, so those are your stages of sleep and the corresponding brain wave patterns. Now, in stage one, we're looking here at beta waves. This is called basically light sleep. And this is really kind of the transition area between waking and your sleep. Your muscle tone is still present in your skeletal muscle. Your breathing is occurring at regular rates of about 16 breaths per minute. But the difference is eye movements are beginning to slow. Your eyes are closed, but your eye movements are beginning to slow. When you are fully awake and you close your eyes are still moving. That's a whole other topic. And while at this stage you can be easily awakened, there is an overall loss of awareness. There's a softening of awareness. There's a slowing down of thought and responsiveness. And this stage will last, or should last, in a healthy individual anywhere from 1 to 5 minutes. Okay, in this next picture, we're looking at stage two sleep, and often characterized by alpha waves. This is still considered a lighter sleep, but it's deeper than stage one. And during this stage, your brain waves slow down for sure, and they have noticeable pauses between short, powerful bursts. Between the short, powerful bursts of electrical activity, these are called spindles and K-complexes. The EEG, or electroencephalogram, begins to reveal high-voltage, slower waves. Now, some sleep experts think that those bursts are your brain starting to organize, chemically organize, or electrochemically organizing memories and information. That area is a whole other area for study. It has to do with your repolarization, depolarization between synapses and your conductivity in your brain. Very complex, very much a part of what we had to understand when we were looking at cognition and memory and dementia in the preparation to launch. I was on the team that launched Namenda, or memantine, for moderate to severe Alzheimer's disease. Okay, this next picture here is depicting stage three, really kind of a combination of theta and delta waves. This is the beginning of deep sleep, and deep sleep is very, very important. It's characterized by even higher brain waves and more pronounced slowing. And it's difficult really to rouse someone from this stage. This is where the endogenous human growth hormone, HGH, is primarily where it begins to be released. Human growth hormone, the endogenous naturally formed and released, is one of the most powerful healing forces in the world. Muscle tone, pulse, and breathing rate decrease notably, and brain activity during this period has an identifiable pattern. Delta waves are known for promoting immune function enhancement, and I believe it has to do with the power of the human growth hormone, which in itself, again, is another area of study. And we could talk about that, maybe do a little neurological show some evening and look at some of those neuroscientific principles. So let's move on to stage four. These are your consistent delta waves. This is where the greatest release of human growth hormone occurs, in this deepest state of sleep, with primarily super high voltage and very slow brain waves. It's during this stage that it's believed the body repairs muscles and damaged tissues, stimulates growth throughout the body, and boosts immune function. Now, normally there will not be any eye movement or muscle activity during these stages. However, sleep talking and what we call night terrors, actually a sleep dysfunction, can occur during stages three and four. Now, sleepwalking also occurs in deep sleep. Sleepwalking, as you can imagine, can be dangerous because the sleepwalker is not conscious of what they're doing, and they can accidentally hurt themselves through falling or touching sharp objects. Okay, moving on to REM. The REM, or rapid eye movement stage, is a sympathetically driven sleep state characterized by the presence of rapid eye movements, intermittent muscle twitches, and variations in breathing patterns. And most experts believe that in the REM stage, the greatest consolidation and organization of memory occurs, especially of new memory. Because the mind is so active, through a series of chemical excretions, your body is immobile and it is chemically paralyzed temporarily. And in spite of the rapid brain waves, this is a very difficult stage from which to be aroused. If you wake someone who is in REM sleep, they will likely tell you they were dreaming, and they will likely be able to recall for you their dream in great, great detail. Okay, when I return, we're going to take a look at how these five cycles vary across your entire 7 or 8 hours of sleep, because it really matters. And I'll give you some tips that you may recognize from what grandma or mom told you. Remember, grandma was always right. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use the promo code to save 50% on your MyPillow 2.0.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
MyPillow.com.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Jane Ruby here with a quick message on how you should be protecting your retirement funds, your 401k, your IRAs. Did you know that you can protect them with physical gold and silver to avoid losing everything that you've built over your lifetime? Please call the experts at Augusta Precious Metals at 888-836-1890. At least talk to an expert. Learn more about how you can protect what you've built up so that if things go crazy, as we know they will in this economy, you've got some of your investments protected with tangible physical gold and silver. Every bit as valuable as real estate, something you can touch. They can't turn off, you know, with a flick of a switch. Call the people at Augusta Precious Metals. They're wonderful. They will educate you on what this is all about and what you need to do. And they will also provide you with some warnings about how to protect yourself from other companies that may be spreading lies and scamming you. That's Augusta Precious Metals at 888-836-1890. Welcome back to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show tonight. Our tutorial, our Friday night tutorial, is on the value, the mystery, and the refreshing nature of good sleep. This brief show tonight is designed to be a bit of a sort of a mini educational piece where you can go on and do more research on your own. You can study the very nature and function of sleep, especially if you know what you're looking for and you understand the sleep stages. This area of health called sleep medicine, by the way, I'll give you a little editorializing. Like many other areas of the human condition, have of course been hijacked by the allopathic medical model, by invasive and non-invasive diagnostic tests as well. There is a confluence of disciplines that are part of sleep medicine, like neurology, neuroscience, cognition, pain management, and many others. Remember that these types of presentations that I'm doing for you tonight are designed for your information and your entertainment. If you believe you have issues or difficulties with your personal sleep, please seek the advice of a trusted healthcare provider. None of the comments or suggestions from this show tonight or any night are designed to be any kind of prescription or suggestion for anyone individually watching this show. So with that said, here is a brief clip reviewing the human sleep condition with some interesting embellishments. Please roll the tape.
Every night, almost everyone on the planet enters into a state of unconsciousness and paralysis. But what is really happening inside the body when we drift off? And what's the impact if we don't get enough sleep? Sleep is regulated by your circadian rhythm, or body clock, located in the brain. The body clock responds to light cues, ramping up production of the hormone melatonin at night and switching it off when it senses light. There are four stages of sleep that the body experiences and cycles throughout the night. On a good night, we cycle through these stages four or five times. Stages one and two are light sleep. This is a transition from being awake to falling asleep. Heart rate and breathing begin to slow, body temperature falls, and muscles may twitch. Stage 3 is sometimes referred to as delta sleep because of the slow delta brainwaves that are released during this stage. This is the first stage of deep sleep, where our cells produce the most growth hormone to service bones and muscles, allowing the body to repair itself. Stage 4 is where we begin to dream. The body creates chemicals that render it temporarily paralyzed, so that we do not act out our dreams. In this stage, the brain is extremely active, and our eyes, although closed, dart back and forth as if we were awake. Humans roughly spend one-third of their lives asleep. Modern lifestyles, stress, and the proliferation of technology mean that people are sleeping far less today than they were a century ago. Sleeping less than 7 hours per day is associated with an increased risk of developing chronic conditions, which could reduce life expectancy. So for a healthier, longer life, get some shut-eye.
Well, we all have challenges in our sleep patterns because there are so many things that can affect our sleep, both from the physical and the mental realms. Obviously, stressors that are both physical and mental can and will impact your ability to sleep. And when we think of sleep in terms of diagnosis and management and having good sleep, there are two areas of sleep that we want to understand in terms of your function and well-being. Do you have difficulty falling asleep, or do you have difficulty staying asleep, or both? And depending on which of those two, or if it's both, can render a better assessment of what's happening and give you more ideas for improving your sleep. Now, there's the issue of consolidation of your sleep. Sleep consolidation is tightly having 7 or 8 or 9 hours, whatever you require, all tucked together. In other words, no interruptions, no breaking off after 3 or 4 hours and then taking an hour or two for something and then going back to sleep. A lot of people do that because of their jobs. They have these shift disorders, these circadian disruptions. That is not good for the best kind of sleep that you want to get. So consolidated sleep is critically important. It means, like I said, uninterrupted 7 or 8 hours per night for each person. Now let's take a look at the proportion of time spent in the various stages to get a better idea of why interrupted sleep can be the kiss of death, figuratively speaking. Now, looking at this chart of sleep cycles, let me just lay out the slide. So on the vertical or y-axis, we have wake, REM, we have stages 1, 2, and 3. You can kind of think of 3 as 3 and 4, just for purposes of this particular chart. And then across the x-axis, which is the horizontal line, you have the hours of sleep and how much time you're spending in those sleep, okay? So what I want you to notice most of all is in the first two, I'm going to call them columns, right? Or they look like structures, like skyscrapers. In the first two, you see very short amounts of time in REM, where you see a lot of time spent by the body and the brain is if you look at N2 and N3, you're seeing a lot more time spent there. Then when you get further along, maybe halfway through your sleep cycle, or maybe a third of the way, you are spending more and more time in REM. You see the boxes at the top corresponding horizontally to REM. You see they're longer. There's more time spent there. And you can see that there are shorter time spent, in fact, almost no time in stages 3 and 4. But where you're seeing a lot more time spent is in stages 1, right? Sort of lighter sleep. But then REM is a part of that as well. So I thought that was important for you to understand why consolidation is important. You can see that from an evolutionary standpoint, the greatest amount of human growth hormone which is released in stages 3 and 4, and stages 3 and 4 plus that endogenous high level of release occurs in the first few hours. So that probably we evolved that way because in the kind of the caveman days or the earlier days, people were on the move. They were on the run. They weren't guaranteed a nice cushy 8 hours in a soft plush bed. Predators could always be coming. So we evolved, according to sleep medicine historians, to go through stages 3 and 4 in greater amount of time earlier on in the entire sleep session. Makes a lot of sense. And then REM later on occurs in greater length of time later in your sleep session. I'm going to call it a sleep session. Okay. So now you've got a better idea of why consolidated sleep is so important, why getting the right amount of time sleeping is critical, and getting that amount of time in specific stages in order to get adequate amounts of endogenous growth hormone are so incredibly critical. Tie it together. Go to bed early, get great sleep, get very consolidated sleep, plan for no interruptions. This cannot be replicated. This human growth hormone that's endogenous, made by the human body, designed by God, it cannot be replicated by synthetic pharmaceutical, processes, as so many people have tried to do. A lot of bodybuilders take it. People take it. It's never going to be the same. And by the way, if anybody ever tries to sell it to you as a pill, run, because it doesn't survive. It's got to be injected. But I would say get it from nature, get it from yourself, get it from your own body's production. Like everything else in nature, God-designed growth hormone is superior to anything man can make. So I want to talk a little bit about, sleep hygiene, which is the non-pharmaceutical, non-allopathic approach to enhancing your sleep. Now, within sleep hygiene, which are techniques and approaches to enhance going to sleep and staying asleep, there are some obvious tips, like avoiding high levels of activity, avoiding emotional outbursts, emotional experiences close to bedtime, avoiding, I wouldn't be balancing my checkbook or doing my taxes before I went to bed. I think it'll take you many hours to kind of come down from that rapid brain activity. But there are some other basic tips, like avoiding high levels of electromagnetic frequency while you're trying to sleep, like the Wi-Fi and all the associated electronics that are using and sending the Wi-Fi around and around. These can interfere with your brainwaves. And as you've now seen, your brainwaves are electrical. They are frequency. They are easily affected by external frequencies. I know this is not news to many of you, but it bears repeating when you're sharing information with people about healthy sleep and getting the best sleep that you can. Remember, good sleep keeps you functional during the day, keeps you mentally sharp, sharpens your memory, keeps you physically healthy, is a huge, huge important factor in your immune levels, your immune function. So one of the approaches in sleep hygiene is to engage in rituals where you are able to bring your relaxation up, bring the stress down, bring the raciness down, and increase relaxation prior to going to bed. This is paramount. Now, one of the suggestions my mentor found very effective, he kind of made it up, but it made perfect sense, and it was very effective with a lot of his patients. Here's one, was to soak in a very, very hot bathtub. Bathtub of hot water, as hot as you can stand it without hurting yourself, obviously, but the hottest you can tolerate. And he would say, you've got it where it should be when beads of sweat occur in your forehead. And this takes about 10 or 15, maybe 20 minutes. And just before going to bed, then this actually artificially kind of quickly raises your body temperature. Then when you get out and dry off, it drops back to normal. But that process of raising it up high and dropping it has a profound effect, a really interesting, effective measure for getting your body, when you get into bed, get you to sleep and fall asleep and have a deeper sleep. And remember, The best sleep you will ever get is the sleep before midnight. I want to repeat that because it's incredibly important. Take notes this whole show tonight. The best sleep you will ever get is the sleep you get before midnight. There's something about the timing of your sleep so that you can get, if you can, whatever you can get in before midnight, go to bed at 9 or 10 or 10:30, whatever it is, whatever sleep you can get in before midnight is much more valuable. In other words, let me give you an example. In 6 hours of sleep between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m., you get deeper, richer sleep results than sleeping for 8 hours from say 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. And if someone tells you that they dream frequently and every night, remember, you only remember the dreams from which you wake up. So when you have those dreams that brought you up to a higher, faster level of brainwave, in other words, the dreams from which you awaken, those are, if somebody tells you they're waking up all the time or they're dreaming frequently and they remember their dreams, that tells me they're not getting good deep sleep, because that means they're frequently coming up to higher, faster levels of brainwaves, and they're coming up to they're like, it's like mildly waking up. They're not getting consolidated sleep. Really important. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this, and I hope you've gotten a little something out of it. A little bit of a shorter show tonight, but let's all go into the weekend and have some fun. Remember that God wins, okay? So follow me on Telegram and Twitter if you want to support the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. Please do so by my links below. Remember that I take no sponsorships, so no one controls what I say or do. But by supporting my vendors below, the modest commissions from the affiliate sales help to keep the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on the air and continues to bring you the best in truth in medicine. As I said, I'll see you for coffee chat tomorrow morning. God bless you, everyone. Have a great night. Wow.